And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Pretty good weekend of football. Pretty
good
weekend of football.
Not bad. Decent weekend of hockey.
Yeah.
I was out there at the arena basically all weekend.
Some good and some bad from the Preds.
Some good. Some bad. Pretty cool to see Ovechkin and Stamkos trade some one-timers from the left circle last night. As Andrew Brunette pointed out, it's about 1,500-some-odd goals. Don't know that we'll ever see that again. So, Preds back at it tomorrow, taking on Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers.
Man, they keep coming.
They do. They do. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Good weekend. I fell asleep during the game last night, the Sunday night game, so I missed a bunch of the second half. Got the six-year-old, a little bit of a strep throat action at the house, too, that time of year. So head on a swivel out there, people. But overall, doing good. Thanks. Happy Monday, everyone.
We got a lot to go get into on the program today. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. I'm sure the subject of my painted nails will come up at some point.
Oh, yeah.
We will get into
that. That's right.
Got to figure out exactly how that's happening, how he wants that to take place. So we'll find that out at 8 o'clock.
Have to be, like, videoed or something?
I don't know. Like, you know, he texted me the other night in the aftermath of the game. He's like, my daughter said she'll do it. So we'll see. Well, I had to set something up.
That's cheaper than going to these manis and petties. Yeah. Not cheap, man.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Not good. So we'll see what happens on that front. We have the Rex rant a little bit later in the show coming up at 7:45 as well. We will get into the latest with the Titans head coaching search coming up throughout the program as well. Joe, we begin with Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. L.A. takes down Carolina in a semi-thriller for the expectations heading into that game, 34-31. The Bears take down the Packers, 31-27, in a game blown by Matt LaFleur of epic proportions, which is about par for the course. We'll get into that later in the show. Buffalo with a 27-24 win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, an 11-yard tush push late in the game on that one. That was interesting.
Yeah.
The 49ers when on the road, take down the reigning Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles are done. San Francisco wins. And Vrabel and the Patriots with a 16-3 win against the Chargers. And Justin Herbert, who cannot have any postseason success at all. And that trend continues last night. So one more coming up tonight. Houston and Pittsburgh on the Monday night game will close out Wild Card Weekend. But Joe, what are maybe a couple things that stood out to you over the weekend in the NFL?
Well, I know that we're going to get back into it, and I'm sorry. Sorry for your troubles, but the Packers just completely blowing that game. Now, you know, I could facetiously say, well, Matt LaFleur was part of them building the lead too. Mm-hmm. But I can't in good faith try to talk you out of being furious with Matt LaFleur and being about done with him, and it seems like that is not something that you have independently as a thought. And so I'm really interested. To me, you know, we knew that some of these results might lead to things like, I think Sean McDermott's good, and now you can forget about that one. So the whole Harbaugh, Josh Allen, wipe that away. Big time win. I think the Bills screwed up personally, but they didn't pay for it because they got the tip pick on Trevor Lawrence. But that was obviously an impactful win. I think we're head on a swivel today on LaFleur, you know. Head on a swivel on strep and various illnesses. Head on a swivel on Matt LaFleur today. I mean, you know better than me. You're plugged into it, but a lot of people are.
It's loud. Yeah, I mean, it's really loud around him right now. I don't know what that means. I was telling you before the show, and we're going to get into the Harbaugh stuff here in just a few minutes, but this is just my total guess. My guess is if the Packers really like Harbaugh and they feel like they got a decent shot to land Harbaugh, then that would be how Matt LaFleur gets fired. That would be my guess. If it's not going to be him, I don't know. I mean, after the way the game went, he's got 1 year left on his deal. So he was asked about this yesterday. He did a press conference, and he didn't want to get into any of it, and I understand it. But Like, are you comfortable if you're the Packers not extending him this offseason? Are you comfortable if you're him? Like, are you going to do that heading into next year with a lame duck year? I don't know. Like, or, like, are you going to bite the bullet and just go ahead and extend him? It's a very interesting situation. Last week, it seemed like it was trending towards him getting a contract extension. With the way that that game went over the weekend, I would wonder if that changes.
So then you have the Eagles, and I was wrong. Kudos to you guys. I think you both picked the Niners. I know you picked the Niners with the points, but D-Mace, too. You know, he was right last week. He's like, there's just something that's been off. I thought they might turn it on. They didn't. You know, the offense just – and A.J. Brown dropped a couple passes, and it's just all a mess. And, by the way, I heard some of that on Sportsmanlike today.
Yep.
The what about Sirianni and what about Harbaugh there? I mean, it's crazy to think of a guy getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl a year ago, and then they had a really good year this year, just not a championship level year, losing his job. It seems obvious with him, the OC ups and downs seem to really affect them. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if that was the case, but we talk about that. And then you got Vrabel popping his lip, you know, on a helmet last night and rolling around with his guys and just kicking the crap. You know, Justin Herbert, he's going to have to live up to that whole thing, and I get it. And so it's another loss for him. But, my God, Harbaugh may as well have put him in a dunk tank last night. Or just, like, line up, everybody, and take – it's like the woman on the plane in Airplane. Everybody's lining up with, like, wrenches and stuff to, like, shake her and hit her. I mean, my God, did that guy get just abused.
11 quarterback hits for the Patriots
last night. At the end, it was just like, get him off the field. Like, yeah. Scrape him off the field and don't hurt him anymore.
Six sacks.
That was a bludgeoning. And the good times rolling for the Patriots, man. You know, they're going to get the winner of tonight's game coming to their place next. Bill's going to be at the Broncos, and I'm telling you right now, and you guys know I'm awesome at picking games this year. It's really working out well. But I'm just telling you, the Bills are going to go beat the Broncos on the road, and Josh Allen is going to be playing to get to a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, look, it looked like the Panthers were going to win. In the first game of the weekend, the Panthers had the Rams at one point seemingly dead to rights. And then Stafford and company put together a drive at the end of the game where it shows you why he's probably going to win the MVP this year. But, you know, he made a couple of boneheaded throws in that game that were just awful. And then they come back and make some plays down the stretch. But Carolina just about pulled one out in the first game of the weekend, which I did not expect.
Yeah, credit to them. And you know, it's like Bryce Young, obviously he's come a long way from like, oh, my God, this guy shouldn't even be playing. It's still not perfect, but he did make some big-time plays, and I think that there's a future there. And, you know, the Rams, man, the Rams are interesting. The Rams, I think when they play at their best – you know, this game also, like, Nacua dropped, like, a sure touchdown from Stafford. Obviously, they had they did not have their best game. They're going to need their best game to beat the Bears, but I still think, like, they're good enough they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think three of the four teams left in the NFC, although, yeah, now you take out the Niners, man, I don't know. They keep
Kittle.
Kittle with the Achilles, brutal, but I do. I still think they could figure it out. Three of the four teams, the fourth being the Bears, who suck and continue to be the most like just lucky and on scholarship NFL team I've ever seen.
I mean,
seriously, like they're good. I said they're not terrible, but like they are not a contender to win it all. And yet here they are in the final four of the NFC.
They are in the divisional round coming up, and again, like. That game, it's just amazing. First off, to outscore someone in a playoff game 25-6 in the fourth quarter, I don't really know how that happens. I mean, Jordan Love, listen to Jordan Love's numbers in that game. He was 24-46, 323 yards, four touchdowns, quarterback rating of 103.8. I forget who had the stat. I've read a billion stats this weekend. I need to go back and find it. It was like Jordan Love – this time out, I think Josh Allen in that wild game against Kansas City in the playoffs and somebody else are like the only quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for like 300 yards and four touchdowns in a game and no picks and lose in a playoff game. Like, it's amazing how they screwed that game up over the weekend.
Yeah, and there were some coaching gaffes for sure in there. But it's just like, and look, I mean, like, give the Bears credit and give the Bears crowd credit and all that stuff. Things like that can start snowballing. But it was just, it was a mismatch. it should not have been close at the end, let alone a Bears win. But that's what happened. So is that going to continue, you know, to happen? Are they going to continue to get breaks like that and opponents handing them things? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see if I feel like the Rams might go in there and win by double figures. But again, that's what the Packers just should have done and were well on their way to doing.
I just hope Liam Cohen keeps his head up after this weekend. He was told to do that yesterday in the press conference, and that's been making its rounds. So I just hope Liam Cohen and the Jags can hang their head high after a good season down there in Duval.
I don't even know what to – I think this may have to be the discussion point at 7:45. I mean
– Duval.
I don't.
Keep your head up, Liam.
Just a man, like, do this in Kaharski, you know.
Did you know you're my Wonderwall?
It's like, what? Just ask a question, bro. I don't.
But boy.
The opportunity this has become for people to, like, crap on media is pretty special.
It is.
The muting that's been going on Twitter. My goodness.
I'm very glad I deleted that app off my phone. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We are off and running. We'll take your reaction to NFL Wild Card Weekend throughout the show here today. We're going to get into John Harbaugh, the latest on the Tennessee Titans coaching search. Is it possible that Matt LaFleur could shake free today? And would he be of interest to the Tennessee Titans? Would the Titans be of interest to him? We will get into all that throughout the show today. Taking more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That clown on SportsCenter, did he seriously just say that? My God.
Something Guys, could be brewing for 7:45, folks.
We'll save it for then. I mean, okay. I don't know.
I got charmed on in here. I'm not good. Sure what's going on in there.
Yeah, that's you were
be
better,
tuned in the Rex Rant 7:45.
Way better off.
Oh man, John Harbaugh over the weekend with some interesting. I mean, I guess it didn't come like it's not like John Harbaugh held a press conference, but some interesting reporting around John Harbaugh over the weekend. I mean, we knew that this weekend was going to be important, right? Like, what was going to happen with Buffalo? Now that Green Bay is out, what's going to happen with Matt LaFleur? And we're going to get into the LaFleur part of this from the Titans standpoint a little bit later in the show here today, a little bit later in the hour. But Diana Russini put this out over the weekend, and this was combined with, you know, an interesting report from Albert Breer, which I'll bring up here in a minute. And, you know, Harbaugh and his representatives, I think, have put it out there that, you know, there's been a lot of interest in him, obviously. But it looks like he's going to try to narrow it down to about three or four teams that he's actually going to interview with. So that's not a huge surprise. Like, nobody expected John Harbaugh to be walking around and having, you know, eight job interviews as all this was going on. But it feels like, you know, whether the number is three, four, or whatever he kind of settles in on, that it's going to be a selective process for John Harbaugh. And Diana Russini put this out on Saturday morning, which got Titans Twitter just buzzing all over the place. Said, quote, John Harbaugh is spending today and the next few days watching film specifically on quarterbacks Jackson Dart and Cam Ward. He's also been in contact with team decision makers while continuing to communicate with potential members of his own coaching staff. So, obviously, Joe, when Titans fans saw that, I mean, the Jackson Dart part of it, we've talked about Harbaugh and the Giants and, you know, every coach that's available out there is somehow connected to the New York Giants. So I get that. But when Cam Ward's name was thrown in there too, Titans fans are like, oh my goodness, we have got a shot to land John Harbaugh. What do you make of that? And what do you make of John Harbaugh apparently taking at least a little bit of a look at Cam Ward and what that could mean for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I'll go back to last week, and again, my co-worker, quote-unquote, even though I've never met him, Ian O'Connor, at The Athletic has been putting out there that he considers the Titans, well, now he considers the Giants probably like they are. You probably still consider them the front runner for Harbaugh, but he has talked about the Titans as a real chance, and he knows John Harbaugh very well. And when Rossini's report came out, I was like, wow, that to me, that's a big deal. And here's the thing. Could the Titans get John Harbaugh? And I still think the chances are low. But now we've got this situation where if Harbaugh interviews with the Titans, that to me, and this is probably an overreaction, but it's hard not to look at it this way. I mean, that's at least a Harbaugh validation of Cam Ward. And if he doesn't, then I'll probably take it as, yeah. Now, again, could it be, I like Cam Ward, but you know what? The whole Amy Armstrong thing, I'm just going to go ahead and I don't want to mess with that. Sure, there's obviously not just one factor. There are multiple factors in these things. But the fact that he's taken the time to go through the film, I'm sorry, but like the outcome of what interviews he will do, to me, is going to speak to some. I think it's one of the most important commentaries. Is it more important than all of us watching Cam Ward? I mean, I think anybody who watched him this year said, yeah, like there's something there. He had some promise. He had some good days, some bad days, good plays, bad plays. He can make some plays that a lot of people can't make, and there's something there. But like if Harbaugh thinks there's enough there that he's going to actually interview the Titans in despite the Amy Armstrong thing and the concerns and about a bad roster. And still, I mean, look, an unproven GM. I mean, like, pretty good first draft. There's some good stuff in there. But, like, let's not act like Mike Borgonzi is some huge draw.
Right.
Then I think, I mean, to me, that's, I don't know if it's validation, but it's a comment. It's a strong commentary on Cam Ward.
Well, you had on Saturday morning, within about an hour of each other, that report from Rossini came out. Albert Breer put this out there on John Harbaugh. Says no interviews this weekend, which we've talked about. Sources say six teams reached out right away. Miami made it seven last night. He's not interviewing with them all. I'd see realistic landing spots as of now as the Giants, Dolphins, Titans, and Falcons. Now, keep in mind, again, that was before, you know, wild card action took place this weekend. But, you know, when Titans fans saw that, they were like, okay, so Rossini says that he's looking at some Cam Ward film. Breer has put it out there that the Titans could be a realistic landing spot. You know, I think when John Harbaugh first became available, there were a lot of people that thought, yeah, I don't know that the Titans are going to be getting a strong look from John Harbaugh. But it looks like they at least could be under consideration there, which is a big deal if you're the Titans, right? Like, so, again, what are the chances that he actually chooses the Titans job? I don't know. But there's clearly at least some interest out there from Harbaugh.
And I just have to think that the biggest reason that he's even going there is Cam Ward, right? The biggest reason is, okay, let's see. I mean, you know, I'm in the league. I'm coaching the Ravens. I'm not paying attention. We didn't play the Titans this year. We never watched them on film. We did. I mean, how much work did they do on Cam Ward? I mean, they got Lamar.
Probably not a lot.
Yeah, so to me, it's like just opening the door. Cam Ward is the only reason if it was Tannehill here, if it was just like a kind of a known mid quarterback situation, then I don't think they'd get the time of day. But I think it's smart of him to be like, you know what, let me really dig in and look and see, you know, what they've got here. And if Todd Monken and I could do something here with this player. I mean, you can't have two. I mean, you talk about completely different situations. I mean, again, maybe I'm being a little hard on Cam Ward, but I think he might be. He's right up there with the slowest quarterbacks in the league. He's very slow, right? Like he's a good eluder, and he can extend plays and all that stuff.
But I don't know. I watch him run, and then I watch Jared Goff run, and I'm like, Cam Ward is a blazer out there.
Well, for sure. I mean, Goff, if we're going to count Cousins as a starter, then you put him behind him too. Yep. But, like, there aren't that many, man.
Not a ton.
Like, there's nothing – like, all the stuff they do in that offense, it's just like, okay, you take all that out. That whole side of the playbook is out of there. But the bottom line is, if you have someone who you think can be a good quarterback, you know, John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Who's a good quarterback? Good quarterback for a long time. No one will ever confuse him with, like, a great all-time quarterback, but he won a Super Bowl with him.
Also slow.
Also slow, too.
It's true. Yes.
Yeah, and if we counted him right now, you might see Cam Ward. Look, you're beating a bunch of people in a race, Cam Ward. But I just think it's – I think it's absolutely about Cam, and I'm fascinated to see. If they get an interview for before we worry about what might happen or all the other jobs he might be looking at, that says something.
Well, and by the way, like, you know, we'll continue the Harbaugh discussion, but another name over the weekend in connection to the Titans was somebody we talked a lot about on Friday, and that is Mike McDaniel, and he is getting an interview with the Titans. I believe it's coming up on Wednesday. So, you know, add Mike McDaniel to the list as well of potential options out there. And look, I said it, if Matt Nagy is going to be considered a serious candidate, like if Robert Saleh is going to be considered a serious candidate, and if you're just going by like accomplishment as a head coach, well, McDaniel has definitely done more than Saleh has. Like, so you add him to the list, and apparently the Titans feel the same way, so they're taking a look at him coming up later this week. Now, how much of that is, boy, we'd really have serious interest in Mike McDaniel being a head coach? In the back of their mind, is there some like Saleh McDaniel pairing that they think could be attractive as well? By the way, nice job by Robert Saleh in that San Francisco defense against Philadelphia yesterday.
Pretty freaking good.
Just another name of intrigue added over the weekend as well, of McDaniel to the list for the Titans as well.
Right. So the, you know, Saleh McDaniel thing that we've been talking about forever could be possible. But I got to say, I think they absolutely should take Mike McDaniel seriously as a head coaching candidate. I think he's a really smart guy. I think he handled – there were a couple of things he probably could have handled publicly a little bit better on there. But also, like, I mean, it's kind of a mess down there. And I'm sorry, but just Tua just is not nearly as good as I thought he would be, as a lot of people thought he would be. The injuries are not his fault. It's not anybody's fault. But I and look, you know, a couple of years ago, I think everybody was like, oh, my God, Mike McDaniel is the biggest genius in football. And maybe that's not the case anymore. But I think he's pretty smart. And I think he's, you know, I saw some stuff over the weekend. I forget who it was. It was somebody who played for the Dolphins when McDaniel was there. And he gave him a pretty strong endorsement in terms of how he handled everything. I wish I remember who that was. Did you see what I'm talking about?
I did not.
Okay. I can try to find it.
We can find it.
Yeah, but it was someone who played with the Dolphins at that time, and he was very complimentary about, like, basically, like, he cuts through the BS and is very real with people, and I think he should be absolutely. Now, I'd be interested to know what Titans fans feel about him. As I know everybody would be like, OC, 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 yeah. But as a head coaching candidate, be interested. I honestly, if you gave me, because I don't know what this whole Stefanski thing with Shadur. But if you gave me the choice between those guys, as I think about it, I don't know, man. I might lean toward McDaniel.
615-737-1025, our phone number. So John Harbaugh, potentially with some interest in the Titans job. We'll take your thoughts on that. Mike McDaniel being interviewed by the Titans later this week. We will get into the Matt LaFleur part of this coming up a little bit later in the hour as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Titans head coaching search, John Harbaugh with some potential interest out there. Looking at film of Jackson Dart, looking at film of Cam Ward, and I would assume, Joe, at some point pretty quickly this week, we're going to hear some movement on the Harbaugh front in terms of the interview part of it. Because now that the Bills have advanced, I would agree with you, like McDermott, you know, was that the first road playoff game yesterday they've won since like 92, I think it was? So now that they've won that game, look, they're going to Denver. They're taking on the one seed. It's not certainly impossible that Denver could win that game and bounce them. Even if that happens, I understand that that would be very disappointing for the Bills. I don't think they would fire McDermott after that, so he's probably safe at this point. We'll get, you know, a little bit more in the Green Bay part of this coming up and as to what that could mean for Harbaugh here in just a few minutes. But I would assume the movement from Harbaugh on selecting whatever process he goes through of selecting interviews would be happening pretty quickly this week, and then you're kind of getting to that next step of it.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out at some point this week who he's going to talk to. So everybody waiting on your squad, waiting on your Packers. And again, to me, it's like it's got to come today, right? Like today.
You would think.
Yeah. Either, I guess. But I guess, like, if they're not going to extend him, which, again, I don't think it's some huge problem in the NFL. Lame duck coach. I mean, you're not. It's not a recruiting thing. I mean, it's like, hey, earn your contract. That's fair to me. What's he going to do? Leave?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. I don't. I've never really understood that either. Like, make the coach do a good job in the last year of his contract.
If
he wants to leave after that, then whatever. But
yeah, like if you're sort of in between on. We're so thrilled with the job being done, or we need to fire you, then that's when you just let someone play out their contract. But I guess if that's the case, then there's just no word from the Packers. But again, that still to me means if they don't fire him today. You can't, like, how much time do you need, right? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I would assume that, you know, LaFleur met with or is meeting with Ed Policy, who is the decision maker up there.
Yep.
That either happened last night or is happening this morning. So I would assume in the not too distant aftermath of that, there's a decision one way or the other coming on that front.
And if it's a firing, then that's the meeting. Then that's when it happens,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So we'll find out at some point here. You know, the interesting question is, I mean, let's play that out. Let's play it out that LaFleur gets fired in Green Bay, which you'll see me fall out of this chair if it happens live on our program. You know, we talked about the Titans. We've talked about the Giants. You know, Breer put a couple other teams out there, the Dolphins and the Falcons, as potential landing spots for Atlanta, for Harbaugh. You know, I would assume if LaFleur gets fired, you can add Green Bay to that list. I guess my question for you would be, I mean, does Green Bay immediately become like the runaway favorite for that? Would you still include the Titans and the Giants and teams like that in the mix there? Like, if LaFleur's out in Green Bay, what does that do for the Harbaugh race in your mind?
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that John Harbaugh wouldn't just jump at that one. And I don't know. Some of this is like, how much does it matter to – you know, someone like John Harbaugh, that it's that it's the Packers, that it's the, you know, the storied franchise that the Packers are. There is also still the consideration of, so you're choosing to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right.
For anybody who's been to Green Bay, Wisconsin, I've been there during nice times of year, and it was great. I've also been there to cover a basketball game in like late December. Yeah, man. Like, I lived in Michigan. Green Bay, Wisconsin is a different deal altogether still than that.
They got a couple really nice gas stations up there, man.
I mean, they've got some, you know, some nice – I mean, there's a lot of places where you can get awesome cheese curds, which I love. But you got that. But to me, it's just like – I mean, whatever. You know, what are these guys – that's why I've seen some – it's funny. I've seen some good – some social media back and forth on – the Titans, and I've said it, like, living in Nashville. Like, I mean, I do think it's a draw, but it is also fair to point out that these guys are bunkered up.
Yep.
And the bottom line is Jordan Love. I don't know how you wouldn't look at it and say, yes, I can win championships with that guy. And you don't know you can do that with Jackson Dart. You don't know you can do that with Cam Ward. You could like the film on either of those guys, but I mean, the proof concept is it's a totally different deal when it comes to Jordan Love. So I got to think that it would be a slam dunk if it happened.
Well, I think from a roster standpoint, it's not really all that close between the Packers job and all these other jobs that are open, right? Like, I mean, you're talking about Jordan Love, who's really good. You're talking about Micah Parsons, assuming he comes back and is completely healthy at that point. They got, you know, a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. So from a roster standpoint, I think Green Bay immediately moves into the number one spot for Harbaugh there. And then, of course, the natural question after that would be, like, what happens with LaFleur? Like, if LaFleur gets fired, I would assume he's going to get another job somewhere else. So, if you're a team like the Titans, if you're a team like the Giants, like, does it go, well, let's see where Harbaugh goes, and then wherever Harbaugh goes, let's assume it's Green Bay, we'll just substitute Harbaugh and put LaFleur in that spot. Does he immediately jump to the top of the list, or is he in the same mix as Stefanski and McDaniel and all these other guys that are kind of lumped together right now?
Yeah, it's fascinating. You If they were asking you, then
he'd be coaching high school football.
Yeah, they would not have a great opinion of him. I have to look at like Jordan Love's progress, and I look at Malik Willis coming in, all of a sudden he looks like a good quarterback, and I have to think that Matt LaFleur knows his butt from his elbow, right? But there's concerns.
Here's what I would say. I think if you're a team like the Titans or a team like the Giants, and what I mean by that is you are in transition, you have a very young quarterback, your roster is certainly not at a spot where you feel like you're competing for championships right now. Do I think Matt LaFleur could come in here and do a good job and elevate the team to get them to a certain point? Yes, I do. Like, I think Matt LaFleur could come in here. I think he could be good for Cam Ward. I think he is good at developing quarterbacks. I think he can be, when he isn't completely overthinking everything, a very good play caller. So all those things are good. Like, I think Matt LaFleur could come in here and the Titans could get back to being a playoff team. Now, then that leads to a separate discussion at some point of, like, is Matt LaFleur ever going to break down the door and win games that actually matter when the time comes? The answer so far is no. Now, does that mean he couldn't do it here? I don't know. And the Titans, frankly, right now, well, I think if you're a Titans fan, you'll take that conversation when it comes up, right? Like, if we get to the point where we're worried about winning huge playoff games and whether or not the coach can do that, Titans have been far away from that for a while. You'll take that. You'll cross that bridge when you get there. So I understand all that. So
sure.
I think that you have to understand that. Again, I've said this many times when people who don't watch the Packers keep telling me how good Matt LaFleur is, that the expectations and the situations from rosters between the Giants and the Packers right now and the Titans and the Packers right now could not be more different.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, but so let's go to the last game. So, I mean, you know, like they missed, you know, people pointing out on the text line. I mean, he didn't miss those kicks, right? I mean,
did you watch the game, guys?
I did.
Get yourself in a – I mean, can you manage a game? If you manage the game as the head coach the right way, those kicks don't matter. You're never in this position where those kicks can hurt you.
So the your main issue with LaFleur is just game overall,
he totally
CEO,
chokes.
Game management.
Yeah. He's a good play calling. He totally chokes as a head coach. I mean, look, I've sent you 1,000 stats this weekend. Go look at the games they blew this year. I mean – they have blown about 5 or 6 double-digit leads, several of those being in the fourth quarter this year. If that was Vrabel when he was here, Titans fans would be going nuts about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think clearly there's something there where, well, you know, again, decisions by him, some sort of psychological thing. I don't know, but I mean, it's hard to ignore at this point. So I'm with you. Like, yes, as a Titans fan, I would be open to the idea. I mean, I think a lot of franchises would. But that there are some coaches that just – that's the ceiling. And it's like, man, you get to the absolute – you know, I mean, he had that championship game with Rodgers in the MVP year, you know. And, look, Brady played great in that game. But the bottom line is, like, at some point, if you never win those games, you have to – I mean, what is
– by the way,
what's
totally
the deal?
Screwed that one up, too. So, like, there's a long
– was there something at the end of the half, right? Didn't he totally screw
– he screwed up a play at the end of the half, and then at the end of the game, they were down 8 with 2 minutes and 8 seconds left on the clock, and he decided, well, I'll kick a field goal.
And kicked the field goal.
It's fourth and goal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, like someone on the YouTube chat, he gets a lead and gets complacent. I don't know if it's complacency, but, like, they don't – there's something there where and sometimes, you know, if a coach is unsure of himself, that can translate to a team. So, we'll see.
But, like,
maybe
but
it's
again,
it. Maybe you finally won't have him to beat up on
but
anymore.
Again, like, I'm trying to be as objective about this as possible, which is difficult with this guy. Like, if he's out there and you're a Titans fan and you're if you're Borgonzi, like, if he's out there and you're not landing Harbaugh, I mean, he would immediately, I think, move – if not at the very top, at least toward the top of the list of guys that are out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah, like, again, I just said I like Mike McDaniel. If it was like McDaniel, Stefanski, and LaFleur, it's kind of like similar with all the situation, right? They're all going to be play-calling head coaches. I'd still probably go LaFleur because that like there's still enough there. And again, Jordan loves progress. With Cam Ward, if you can take Cam Ward and go like the amount of improvement that Jordan Love showed from early on when he shouldn't even have been on the field to like what he is, if you can have anything close to that level of improvement, like you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on John Harbaugh, your thoughts on a potential Matt LaFleur firing in Green Bay. What would that do for the Titans' interest level in him? We'll take all your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
I think it was more lack of execution than lack of composure. Just looking at the tape, and this is why you got to be careful what you say, I think, especially emotionally after a game. But when I look at it, it's just, don't get me wrong. It's execution, whether it's from the guys on the field or it's from a coaching decision in terms of, well, there were some play calls that you'd absolutely love to have back. Just like there's some plays that some of our guys would absolutely love to have back. And that's football. And like I said, in the biggest of stages, you got to capitalize when you have those opportunities.
That's Matt LaFleur at his press conference yesterday.
And nothing wrong with that comment. He took some accountability there.
Oh, he's great at taking some accountability.
Wow. I mean, he's probably right, right? Is he not right?
Oh, I'm
that,
sure he is.
That there are some plays where, like,
I say this, and this is another example where a couple things can be true. Yes, like, if you manage the game properly, you don't need the kicks. It would still would be nice for your kicker to make some kicks down the stretch.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into winning and losing.
There is. There's a lot that
goes
into it.
But he does seem to find ways to blow these games.
He's found some special ways this year and in the playoffs in years past.
So real quick, so if Harbaugh, if LaFleur's out there, you're talking Harbaugh, LaFleur, Stefanski, McDaniel. And again, so like we talked not long ago about Stefanski being like the bell of the ball. Like to me, he'd be the fourth of those. And then we're not even getting into Saleh and some of these other guys.
Yeah, I mean, like I'd really be interested to know from Titans fans and, you know, frankly, decision makers involved in this. Like, how does McDaniel factor into all that? Like, because I think there are plenty of people out there that would rather have Stefanski than McDaniel. I don't know. Like, I think you could probably go either way on that. Look, you know, Harbaugh, I think, clearly would be the bell of the ball. LaFleur, despite my current disdain for him, would be up near the top of the list. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, you know, Matthew from Jolton puts it out on the text line, says, you know, assuming the Packers fire LaFleur, he becomes second on my list behind Harbaugh. I don't remember a coaching carousel as crazy as this one. And again, like, I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. What if the Pittsburgh Steelers go out there and just get thrashed by the Texans? What happens with Tomlin? I mean, do you add him to the list in all this?
Hey, if you're a Titans fan, you hope so. Now, granted, now that also means so then you add a big-time coach and you also add an opening that is very coveted. But still, you're going to end up with a good coach. You're going to end up with a coach with a good profile, right, through all this stuff. Yeah, that would be – I think already I can't remember a coaching carousel like this. If you had Tomlin and Harbaugh after the 10 years they've had and the consistency – I don't think there'd be anything close to this.
And again, like I, it's hard for me to get there on Tomlin. But again, well, what if they just get smoked tonight? Like, you know, they've made the playoffs. Like making the playoffs under Tomlin has not really been the problem. It's been a long time since they put together any sort of deep run.
It seems like Packers fans are with you. It seems like, you know, like, okay, that's enough, LaFleur. Right, that's about enough.
Yeah.
I feel like the same way with Steelers fans. If we're just going to go with fans, I think a lot of Steelers fans are like, yeah, great. It's good to be, like, pretty good all the time, and that's enough of that. Like, we're the Steelers. We should – and, again, my answer to them would be, well, you could have been way worse than this in some of these years, and you just don't have a quarterback. Now, how much of that is on him? You know, they've made some choices that haven't worked out, but they haven't had a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger.
What do you make of this from Keith, which I think is an interesting point? Says, at this point, with the amount of candidates that have head coaching experience, there really isn't any reason the Titans should take someone that's never been a head coach before. I mean, if you're looking for a coaching cycle of candidates who have head coaching experience, there's a whole lot out there, and there could be more coming today.
Okay, so let me counter that. Well, that's true. So I just want you to remember that right now the Seattle Seahawks, who have a pretty good chance of making the Super Bowl, are glad that they took someone that did not have head coaching experience. I would also say that the Jacksonville Jaguars and their fans, especially one particular reporter fan, are pretty happy that they took someone who had no head coaching experience. And Baltimore took a guy who had no head coaching experience, and Pittsburgh took a guy who had no head coaching experience, and on and on and on. So I hear what you're saying, but you might, if that's your mindset, you might miss out on someone like a lot of these coaches. By the way, San Fran, there's another guy.
Bears.
Same thing. Bears, there's another guy. Eagles, they just won the Super Bowl. People want to run him out of town. There's another guy who never had head coaching experience. I mean, look around the league. I mean, Dan Campbell. Like, retreads can work, but also it works a lot that you get someone who doesn't have head coaching experience.
For sure.
So don't bypass someone if you're – who would be the top non-head coach that the Titans, you know, are talking to here? The top non-head coach.
The top one? I mean, I like Shula.
Yeah, Shula. Yeah, I mean, Shula. There you go.
We haven't heard anything about Joe Brady with the Titans, so.
No, but he would be. But, yeah, so Shula blows them away in the interview. You're like, this is going to be the next great coach. But
in a week, are they interested in Kubiak in Seattle?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be interested in him.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I mean, I generally agree with the idea. We've been talking about the importance of doing it. But, again, like, there are a lot of success stories out there with teams that don't do that. And maybe in some cases they didn't have this roster of proven head coaches. But, again, still, are you not happy? Well, some of those coaches I listed, did it not work out? It worked out awfully well.
Yes, I agree with everything you just said. I also acknowledge that this is – you don't see coaching searches like this every year with this many candidates available that are and you know, we're kind of in for the sake of this discussion factoring in the Fleur to this too. If I mean, what if by the end of, let's say, tomorrow or Wednesday, that Harbaugh's out there, LaFleur's out there, Tomlin is out there from Pittsburgh. I mean, it's a pretty crazy coaching cycle at that point. I mean, Harbaugh, Tomlin by themselves is a crazy coaching part of this, but to have all of it going on at the same time could be nuts.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I understand, like, Trevor's like, you know, the Titans like to get another first time dud, like Callahan. Apparently I did not see this. Did you see this? He interviewed for the Bucs OC job?
Yes. I did see that, yes.
Okay, interesting. Keith's counterpoint says, I see your point, but I think the Titans roster is so young they really need an experienced leader, someone to set the identity. Again, I hear you, but I think the identity's been set awfully well in Seattle, right? By someone who wasn't who had never been a head coach. So I'm just saying, keep an open mind to someone who might just be like, okay, I mean, this is the guy, even though all these other people have head coaching records.
I mean, it's interesting to get people's perspective on, like, how they would rank these coaches too. Like, Chase from White Bluff says LaFleur would be one, Harbaugh two, McDaniel three, Stefanski four. And LaFleur is talking about, you know, unlocking Ward and having your play caller. You're not having to worry about OC at that point too, which I get. I mean, that would be a benefit of a guy like LaFleur or a guy like McDaniel, as you hire the head coach and you know that they are good play callers at that point. But, I mean, you can't, to me, base your entire decision on head coach of, well, he calls plays and we don't have to look for an offensive coordinator at that point.
Yeah. Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
Also true of him.
Well, and again, like, there's a difference between LaFleur and Callahan, just to point that out.
I'm glad
a little
you
bit
think
of a difference.
So. Thank you for confirming that you think so.
I'm just saying, like, I understand that they just hired a guy that calls plays. Like, to me, there's a difference between hiring Brian Callahan to come in here and call plays for the first time and Matt LaFleur, who has been calling plays for 7 years in Green Bay.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, and again, I think Stefanski has proven himself in that way. McDaniel certainly has proven himself in that way as a play caller, as an offensive designer. And yet, I mean, to me, it's wild, Jason White Bluff, that I think Harbaugh is absolutely number one. With everything that he has done as a coach, I think he'd have to be number one. Now, you know, there's also the whole, Is everybody, you know, are these teams going to have to like give him 100% control and all that stuff? I don't love that idea, you know, if that's truly what he wants. I mean, things worked out pretty well for him with the arrangement they had in Baltimore, didn't it?
They did. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coaching search. Coming up next hour, we will get into Miami and Indiana punching their ticket to the national title game. The Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.